I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Oh, I said it's because you distracted me. See, Deborah was in here. And as she's wagging her finger at me, she distracted me, and I said the wrong title of the show. John Cobell Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Stay in your crazy box over there.
Blame me because you say the wrong name.
Because you distracted me and I couldn't focus on what I'm doing.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's good. Now I'm going to have the boss come in here and yell at me. Thanks, John.
All right. We got Moist Line 877, Moist 86. There's lots of vacancies, so get with it. Last week there were vacancies, and then at the last minute, everyone came through. They were excellent Moist Line submissions. So let's do it. Make Eric's life easier. 877-MOIST-86. We go now to Corbin Carson from KFI News. A story from 2 years ago, May of 2021. Joanna Clunan was driving her son, Aiden, to kindergarten in the carpool lane of the 55 freeway. And another driver sped up, cut her off, and flashed a peace sign. Clunan was frightened and gave the other driver a middle finger. The driver was a woman. The woman had a boyfriend named Marcus Ariz. Ariz pulled out a gun and shot at Joanna Clunan's car and killed her son, Aiden. He took a bullet in the back. And now Marcus Ariz has been on trial. And we're going to go to Corbin Carson, who's been at the courtroom. Corbin, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. So this has been a relatively quick case. We just started talking about this last Thursday, you and I, John. It's now been boiled down to essentially second-degree murder or voluntary manslaughter. The question of guilt pretty much off the table since the guy admitted this to police in an hour-long statement. The prosecution laid out their case, and the defense declined to call any witnesses, and Marcus Ariz declined to testify, the defense saying this is because an hour-long interrogation was the most truthful Ariz was, and they were willing to let that stand. And then both the prosecution and defense argued using that video for or against second-degree murder. That's the difference between 25 years to life in prison or 40 years, given that there are a couple other charges and enhancements. So Senior Deputy District Attorney Dan Feldman says Marcus Ariz admitted to police in 2021 all the requirements for second-degree murder of intent and malice.
We're not here to try whether or not he regrets what he did. That's not our issue. The issue is, what did he do and why did he do it when he killed Aiden? And at no point does he ever say anything remotely close to, I was overwhelmed. It got out of hand. Never comes out of his mouth. When asked multiple times, why'd you do it? I don't know. Why'd you do it? It was stupid. It didn't warrant my response. It's not a reason to shoot at somebody. That is the evidence.
And then on the other side of that, OC public defender Randall Bethune, he argues that the people have not proved murder. He says this case is all about voluntary manslaughter.
He straightens up, he leans forward, he is welcoming the chance to tell whatever he needs to tell. I'll tell you anything. How can I help you? This is not a man who's hiding anything. This is a man who feels remorseful for what he has done in the moment, and he's giving you exactly what it is that happened. And it's so unfortunate, ladies and gentlemen, but he doesn't have, when he fired that weapon, he did not have the malice. He didn't have an intent to annoy. He didn't have an intent to destroy. He didn't have any intent whatsoever. He rashly pulled the trigger, and it's that simple.
And so that pretty much wrapped up here in the last 15, 20 minutes. For the last 45 minutes, the jurors have been hearing the instructions on what they're supposed to do with all this information before they come out. They are allowed to consider a voluntary or involuntary manslaughter along with the second-degree murder.
So what are those three? That's on the menu there. Voluntary, involuntary, or second-degree murder.
Correct. And it's pretty much voluntary because the difference between the two, murder requires malice aforethought. Voluntary manslaughter includes death caused by heats of passion and sudden fights. And there was a lot of argument about whether or not he was in the heat of passion, saying since he said he wasn't angry. Involuntary manslaughter, on the other hand, is when you cause someone's death during a crime that is not inherently dangerous. But in this case, it is obviously dangerous to shoot off a gun in rush hour traffic at a car.
I know we went through this on Thursday, but I simply don't understand the defense that he's not angry. Who pulls out a gun and fires it at a woman's car unless they're upset about something?
Well, yeah, there was a lot of talk about whether or not he was smiling, when he was smiling. The prosecution is saying he's smiling as he shoots. The defense saying he was smiling in general about the peace sign, and that's when Clunan came close to the car.
Oh.
And was he angry or not angry? And that didn't end up being a sticking point because the anger, whether or not he was angered, doesn't change the fact of what he did. At least that's what the prosecution was saying.
Well, that makes sense. What does it matter? Why do we have to discern his emotions? That doesn't matter. The crime is not, your emotions are not the crime.
It does at least what they told the jurors is it does when you're making a distinction on trying to reduce from second degree murder down to some form of manslaughter. What was his state of mind when this happened? And the defense is saying he didn't even think. He was saying it was just 5 seconds. Grab the gun out of the back seat behind the driver, roll down the window, and then shoot the gun off. 5 seconds, says the defense, while the prosecution says this happened. Then the prosecution slows down. He grabbed the gun out. He switched it from his left hand to his right hand because he was in the passenger seat.
Wait a second. She
rolled down the window.
She slowed down?
No. I'm saying the prosecution slowed down this moment.
I see.
The defense is speeding up this moment, saying he didn't think in those few seconds of grabbing, shooting, and rolling down the window, whereas the prosecution slows down that moment as if he grabbed it.
It's a series of decisions he has to make.
Right.
He has to make a decision to roll down the window. He has to make a decision to turn around, to reach for the gun, to pick up the gun, to cock it and fire it. That's 5 separate decisions there.
Right.
Now, maybe it takes only a few seconds to go through all those motions, but it's willful motions, and something has to be driving that. That doesn't happen randomly, right?
Correct. And then on top of that, the prosecution is arguing that this guy, and they spent some time on this, understood how to use weapons. He passed a course. He had extensive gun knowledge. He mentioned it several times during the video. Did you know this would be dangerous, deadly? Yes, but you did it anyway. Yes, this was played many, many times and will be a sticking point as to his frame of mind when he did this.
It's just a bizarre defense.
It is. And you know, here's the thing. The defense didn't call any witnesses or anything, and I brought this up before. they have to have some sort of defense. And the best thing that this defense attorney is holding the entire defense on is this was just a rash thought. He had no idea Aiden Leos was in the backseat of that car. He did not intend to kill the kid. That's why they kept going to work for 5 days and didn't know that the entire world was looking for them for 16 days.
You know what?
That's the defense's case.
He kills a six-year-old boy. I imagine that Todd, I'm just guessing here, Todd Spitzer, the DA, did not offer a plea deal, huh?
no pleas right. in this one. But
so that's why they had to come up with some kind of feeble defense just to see if they could squeeze a manslaughter conviction out.
Right. But to the six-year-old boy part, the defense attorney wants to remind everybody that it doesn't matter whether this was a six-year-old kid some other. It's the law is what happened. How was his state of mind? What did he do? That's the distinction between the murder charge and the manslaughter charge.
All right, Corbin, so the jury, does it have now the case?
They should be getting it right now. I came down to the court, came out of the court to talk to you, so they should be going through the 45 minutes of instruction. Then they're going to talk about this. I mean, the defense did bring up a lot of stuff that they're going to have to analyze, so there's a decent-sized chance this might take a while, and there's also a good-sized chance they're like, nope, we got a verdict, we're ready.
Well, on the chance that it takes 10 minutes, maybe we'll talk to you this hour.
I'll still be here.
All right, that's what it should take is 10 minutes. All right, thank you, Corbin.
Thank you,
good
sir.
Work there. From KFI News. On the case of Aiden Leos, the six-year-old who got a bullet from this creepy ponytailed guy. When we come back, we're going to give away another $1,000. And I have several stories on stupid progressive ideas that failed. Probably could go on for hours, but two in particular today. And we're also going to discuss, and this is something that in the final days of the El Segundo Times, I will highlight when they do a proper story. They have a headline, "Why are so many EV charging stations broken in California?" Even the El Segundo Times is admitting that the electric charging system outside of Tesla is busted here. And when I tell you why, you'll see what happened here. It's not much different than the Boeing situation.
You're listening to John Kobelch on demand from KFI AM 640.
Here is another chapter of stupid progressive ideas that don't work. Like California, New Jersey banned plastic bags, single-use plastic bags, those thin, flimsy ones. And they shifted to alternative bags, thicker ones. And they charged us here in California a dime, still do. And the idea was because they were thicker, stronger, we could use them over and over again. Well, in New Jersey, nobody's doing that. In fact, well, I'll read you the quote from the Democratic governor, Phil Murphy. He's one of these weasels like Newsom. "Plastic bags are the most problematic forms of garbage, leading to millions of discarded bags that stream annually into our landfills, rivers, and oceans." There are not millions of bags streaming into the rivers, landfills. Well, in the landfills, yeah, but that's what landfills are supposed to be for. But not into the rivers and oceans. That's totally exaggerated. That's a lie. "With today's historic bill signing, we are addressing the problem of plastic pollution with solutions that will help mitigate climate change and strengthen our environment for future generations." So he gave the big pomfoon speech. So now you got to pay money and get the reusable bags made of a different kind of plastic. But the reusable bags people didn't like because they started stacking up in their homes. Because you didn't always remember to take them out with you. Or, you know, other family members were out shopping. You know, people shop spontaneously. You don't have them with you. You forget to have them. And, you know, they started stacking up. There was a time where there were reusable bags everywhere. And we have a pile in our garage that nobody touches. It's one of those things, you think you're going to use them. But I tell you, the thicker plastic bags, now, I save those not to take them back to the grocery store because I'm not one of those weenies. When I see a guy carrying a reusable bag, that just screams weenie. That just seems a guy who had some kind of procedure. And, but what they're good for is cat and dog poop. You go to the bathroom, because we have a pad in our bathroom in case the cat and dog are in the mood, and then I use that and put them in the plastic bags. That's the only reuse I've discovered for them.
I have a suggestion.
What?
Why don't you train your dog to go outside? Then you don't have to have any bags, and your cat could use the litter box.
The cat at times refuses to use the litter box. Hmm. We have several in the house, and I don't know. She looks inside, turns around, goes on the floor.
Well, she likes to see you.
I don't watch
do
her.
Do extra duty.
No, it's extra duty, all right.
Yeah, exactly. I chose my words carefully.
A lot of duty. The dog, however, he always goes on the pad. So I let him run around in the backyard, but he doesn't like going outside, especially in the rain last week.
Well, that's understandable.
He would take. I'd say, "Come on, go take a run." He took three steps and he turned around and looked at me like, "Are you nuts? Like going out there? It's wet." In any event, because people are throwing out the thicker bags, eventually they're not reusing them. We are in New Jersey. They're using 3 times as much plastic every year. New Jerseyans previously consumed 53 million pounds of plastic before the ban. Now it's 151 million pounds. The reusable bags are much thicker than single-use plastic bags. They use 15 times the amount of plastic. Most New Jerseyans only reuse the bags 2 to 3 times.
What about cloth bags? I have a bunch of those.
That's not something men will carry. That's what I'm trying to say. Hmm? Because it feminizes you.
What if you had a bag that said the John Cobalt Show? And it was cloth.
I'm not going to put my name on it.
What about all the bacteria that gets stuck in the bag? Like, yeah. Let's say if the chicken juice or the meat juice spills out, and yeah. Then you got to wash the bag.
No,
and
that's never happened to me.
No, thank you.
No, that leaks out. And then it starts to smell, and then bugs get in there, and you end up with a disease. There is no man, a real man, who walks in with a plastic reusable bag.
You're going to have so many people disagreeing with you on that one.
Well, they can, but that's when I see a guy... I feel sad for him. I figured his wife...
You feel sad?
I do. He's probably got somebody at home yelling at him. And he doesn't have the guts to stand up and say, no, I'm not taking in my plastic reusable bag.
Or cloth.
I'll never forget the outrage when the plastic ban went into place because I was working at Vons at the time when I was in college.
Yeah.
And the customers, when they were told they were getting charged 10 cents a bag... Ooh, they would let the cashiers have it sometimes.
Well, that was a scam because what the state did is they split the money with the grocery stores, and the grocery stores started adding cumulatively millions of dollars of profit over the years from selling those stupid bags. And that was the whole purpose of this.
Yeah, the store I worked at got dinged because we weren't charging people for bags because it just became too much of a hassle.
Because half of it is a tax that the state collects. The other half is just extra profit for the stores. And that's why the stores didn't put up any resistance. So we just got screwed. And of course, they had a cover story. It was going to help the environment. Well, according to this New Jersey study, it doesn't help the environment at all. There's triple the amount of plastic now. Idiots. And we come back. Well, we'd spend the rest of the hour on some of this stuff. A lot more progressive ideas that don't work, but we have to do the EV charging story because even the El Segundo Times, in one of its last issues, is admitting that the EV charging stations around the state are mostly broken. And there's a reason for that.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of
bit.
Us.
We're
a
figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
You can hear us from 1 to 4 every day. And sometime after 4 o'clock, we have the John and Ken On Demand podcast that goes online. And you can listen to what you missed. Okay. Well, finally, we're hitting critical mass in the media where it just seems like every publication is finally telling the truth about EVs and charging stations. The EVs have no range. They don't work in cold weather. They're very expensive to repair. And the EV charging network in California really stinks. And even the El Segundo Times, which normally, I don't know, maybe they've decided this week they've got to start putting out stories that are truthful, that matter, that don't pander to left-wing progressive lunatics. But here's the headline. Why are so many EV charging stations broken in California? Starts with a guy. Now, you listen to what I'm telling you. And at the end of this, you tell me if you're putting down a down payment on an EV today. Doug McCune of Oakland, he's all ready to buy an electric car, a Mustang Mach-E. In fact, the paperwork was complete. He only had to sign. But he heard bad things about charging stations, and he felt nervous. So Ford agreed, I guess his local dealership agreed to lend him a Mach-E. And he started driving it around, and he tried a few charging stations just to see, then changed his mind, wouldn't sign the deal. McCune said, I couldn't count on finding a charger that's functional or that doesn't have a line of cars waiting because only one of four chargers is working. If I was comfortable with the charger situation, I would have bought the Mach-E. So here's a guy who has all, like, he's done his research. He's picked out his favorite model. He's haggled with the dealer. All he's got left is the signature line. And he says, can I drive it around to see if I could charge this thing? And he couldn't. He couldn't charge it. They're not working. The lines are too long. Most of them are broken. And according to Russ Mitchell of the El Segundo Times, if you ask around, many EV owners agree. Public chargers have a bad reputation. Companies like ChargePoint, Electrify America, Blink, and EVgo do not work 20 to 30% of the time, according to studies from UC Berkeley and data from JD Power. Now, these public chargers are all subsidized with your tax dollars. So why don't they work? Because the state of California, Gavin Newsom's California government, get this, does not require that charger companies meet any performance standards. The state gave out $1 billion in subsidies and grants to the charging companies, billions more on the way, but you don't have to prove that any of them work. What does this remind you of? You remember when during the pandemic and we had an unemployment department that handed out $30 billion to fraudsters because they didn't do any security checks to see if these people, first of all, really existed and were eligible for the money or even lived in the state of California. You had people around the world, people in Eastern Europe and in Nigeria and in Russia all applying for California unemployment money, and they were getting it. For God's sake, Scott Peterson got a California unemployment check on death row. Same problem here. Well, it's like Boeing, right? They started worrying about there was no incentive at Boeing to worry about quality. Management was only worried about profits. There's no incentive here for these things to be working. All you have to do is manufacture them. So this is what happens with human beings. If human beings don't have the right incentives, then you get shoddy work. You get bad products, bad service. It's simple. At Boeing, if there was some kind of bonus, some kind of reward for quality work and no defects on the assembly line, then people would perform better. But there isn't, because that would cost money. And they have a profit motive there, not a quality motive. Now, it also, for people who forget, 4 years ago now, Gavin Newsom ordered that all the cars and trucks, the light trucks in California, have to be zero emissions by 2035. All of them. 100% of new cars and light trucks, zero emission. You know, in 4 years, it's supposed to be 50% of all the cars and light trucks, zero emission. That's what he ordered. And now everybody, including these idiot progressives in Sacramento, are starting to get nervous because the charging stations don't work. The lack of reliability of the EV infrastructure is going to affect the goals unless we get our act together, said a Democratic Assembly member, Jackie Irwin of Thousand Oaks. You people in Thousand Oaks, good job electing that genius. Says Frank Menchaca, president of Sustainable Mobility Solutions at the Society of Automotive Engineers. These people have big titles. If we don't fix this, none of our plans, no matter how good they are, will come to pass because consumers won't accept EVs without a reliable EV infrastructure. No kidding! Oh. Poor oversight comes from the state not having one agency fully in charge. Do you believe this? There is not one agency in charge to make sure that the charging manufacturers produce and maintain working chargers. They just give them money, billions of dollars. The Energy Commission has oversight. They've given away $500 million in grants and subsidies. The California Air Resources Board, Electrify America, let's see, California Department of Transportation, California Division of Measurement Standards. They're all responsible for different parts of the EV infrastructure network. Kia, the Korean automobile company, is getting nervous because they put a big bet on its EV cars and they're getting good reviews, but they're afraid no one's going to buy them because too many chargers don't work. Steve Kozowski is manager of strategy at Kia, headquartered here in Irvine. What we've learned is that the infrastructure is the top of the reasons for rejection of EVs. Get this. There's no data that the state has on how well the charging stations work. In fact, the state of California doesn't even know how many chargers there are. The federal government claims there's 43,000 public chargers in the state. California says, no, there's only half that. They don't know. The Air Resources Board is refusing to speak to the LA Times. But the chair of the board, Leanne Randolph, last year was pleading with charging companies to get their act together. Please make sure these chargers are fully maintained. There's nothing more frustrating than planning on accessing a charging station and finding the unit's not working. The charging companies say, well, we've got supply chain problems, software problems, vandalism. Nobody can hire a security guard to make sure the vandals that George Gascon lets out don't destroy the charging stations? There's no subsidy or grant to hire some fat guy with a mustache to wave off the vandals, huh? It closed. You remember the guy McCune I told you about at the beginning of the story? The guy who all he had to do was sign the paperwork and he was going to own a Ford Mach-E, and then he couldn't find a charging station, so he changed his mind. He was asked, well, why didn't you buy a Tesla? And he said, well, Tesla would have been the go-to car for us, but Elon Musk's antics turned him off. Right. So you don't like Elon Musk's politics or tweets, so you won't buy his car, even though his car and his charging network work extremely well. Good one, dope. Right, because his politics matter and his tweets matter, but not the superior quality of his cars and his charging station. Moron. More coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Apparently, Joe Biden had a mumbling episode. He was in Manassas, Virginia. He was warning Trump about something. Let's play it.
You won't get distracted, and I'm betting come November, we will vote on a record numbers. And when we do that, we'll teach Donald Trump a valuable lesson. Don't mess with the women of America unless you want to get the benefit.
Wait a second. I got to hear that again.
A valuable lesson. Don't mess with the women of America unless you want to get the benefit.
He had so much fire going there for a few minutes, for a few seconds.
Donald Trump, a valuable lesson. Don't mess with the women of America unless you want to get the benefit.
Unless you are willing to do that.
What was that last part?
I don't know. Sometimes I've gone to the White House website. They have transcripts of all his public appearances.
Yep.
And they try to clean it up, and it's kind of funny.
They got the little dashes in the words, and like, no, he meant this.
Yeah, right, exactly. Tomorrow there's going to be an execution. We haven't had an execution in quite a while. And this is an unusual one. This is happening in Alabama. And it's a guy that they tried to kill, but it failed. And it's Kenneth Eugene Smith. And they're going to kill him a different way this time. He's going to be killed with nitrogen hypoxia. And the nitrogen hypoxia should suffocate him. It's the first execution of its kind in the United States. And he made a last-minute appeal for a stay of execution with the U.S. Supreme Court. And the U.S. Supreme Court said, no, go die. He had begged the court for mercy because he used hid behind experts, claiming that the method, is obviously untested. Well, that's the whole point of this. Now it's going to be tested. And if it doesn't work, now he survived his first execution. They were trying to kill him by lethal injection, but the nurses could not find a clear vein in time before the execution warrant expired. Well, I didn't know they had like a deadline clock. A buzzer went off, and it was like, yeah, what a great game show. You've got 60 seconds to find a vein and execute this man. Well, so he comes back now, and they're gonna pump nitrogen, which will cut off his oxygen, and we'll see if that works. Conway's here.
You know, I wonder if that's where the term deadline came from.
You know? Could be.
Yeah, right? They got a deadline on putting this guy down. Hey, we have breaking news in Southern California. You'll have heard it here first on KFI. Jim Harbaugh, new coach of the Chargers.
Is that right?
Yep. I just heard from an inside source. It's not on the wires yet. It's not out there yet. He had a $125 million deal with Michigan after winning the national championship. And he's come out here, and he will be the new Chargers head coach. And he's bringing all the guys that cheated with him.
That's a nice welcome.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing it's not cheating in the NFL to advance scout.
All the sign stealing is coming with them.
Wait. Do we run the Chargers games here?
Yes, we do.
Oh, yes, we do.
Used to. Now they run me, John.
That's right. You got preempted for Charger games.
Eric, have you heard that news?
Yes, I actually just saw it.
Oh, yeah. Just came across, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that John's car ride home was going to be a mess because the VP's coming to town.
Oh, no. Is she really?
Yeah, I just saw an Alex Michelson
tweet. Oh, yeah. 4:30. She lands in a half hour.
4:30.
Yeah, she lands at LAX in the 4 o'clock hour.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'll be arriving at the same time she's arriving.
Well, are you going to the airport tonight?
No. She lives like...
Oh, that's right. That's right.
She's overnighting.
You know what? You can't complain about being wealthy. That's what you are.
Not if Kamala Harris comes to town. Do you know the kind of traffic jam she...
You know what I get in my neighborhood? A guy who came in, who lives across the street, who just became vice president of one El Pollo Loco. That's my neighborhood. Not in the United States.
He has an entourage?
Yes, he does.
He's got Secret Service.
He's got a deal. Like, he gives me the coupons.
No, you got coupons?
That's right.
So there's a place I go to get a bagel in the morning.
Right.
And there's a SoulCycle a few doors away. She goes to that SoulCycle when she's in town.
Really?
And I drive into the parking lot, and there's like six motorcycles and four big black SUVs and a limousine and guys in suits standing around talking into invisible microphones. Yeah.
And it's pain in the ass for you to get your bagel.
Pain in the ass to get a parking space.
What do you get? You get onion? You get everything? You get the...
Poppy seed bagel.
Oh, but I'm with you.
Yes.
I'm with you. A toasted poppy seed light butter, nothing like it.
I like the cream cheese on it, but...
I don't go cream cheese. But man,
Poppy seed's the best, ever since I was a kid.
But if you get a drug test, you're going to get wiped out.
You know, I was worried about that once.
Yeah.
I got a job at a radio station where they were doing drug tests.
Yeah.
And I used to eat two bagels a morning. And I said, is that going to show up? That's because that's opium.
I did the same thing.
Yeah.
I did the same thing. And I tested positive. And I said, it must have been the
you
bagel.
You tested positive?
And they said, it must be the bagel. And they said, no, you tested positive for methamphetamine. Did you get the methamphetamine bagel? I'm like, yeah.
Meth bagel.
So a big deal here. You'll remember. It is the 24th of January, and you heard it first here on KFI. The new coach of the Chargers is Jim Harbaugh. Right.
If he wins the Super Bowl, Charger fans will never forget.
Look, I always remember stuff when I hear first on KFI. Right. Always.
You're so loyal.
Look, I heard today that foreign countries are paying people to come into the country illegally. I heard first year on KFI.
Yeah, that's right. This was Todd Benzman we had on.
And I give those people coming to the country an initial ding dong. I welcome them. What the hell? They've had a rough trip.
You're a great ambassador.
They've had a rough trip. I don't blame them, you know, but I'd like to give them a welcome to the United States.
Anything you're coming on your show that you want to mention, or we should just move
Jim
on?
Jim Harbaugh.
Okay.
And Knott's Berry Farm is in the news.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Conway coming
Same
up
story.
Next. Crozier.
Ding dong.
Okay. The KFI 24-hour newsroom. Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
to the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.